I talked to a buddy. He pitched, it goes back to the Panthers. For the Stanley Cup game, for game seven, he had season tickets. He said he put them up for $4,000. Within minutes, somebody, whatever, reached out to him. So he declined it, then put it to $5,000. Within minutes, people reached out to him. He got the
These are obviously very good seats.
I don't know where they were. He was just telling me. And got the $7,500, he said, for two seats to make $15,000 he couldn't say no.
Holy mackerel.
$15,000 for two seats.
You know, I was telling you at the beginning of the show, we got these super cool collectibles from Fanatics. I've got it on my desk here. One of the Stanley Cup crystal replica, but there's water inside. The water is the actual ice from the game on Monday night. Fanatics, my wife sent it to me, and I don't even know if she's at the airport in Toronto, but I don't even know if she knew that I got this stuff. She just thought it was fascinating. Fanatics put on Instagram how they collected all the ice and put it into the stuff just as like a little thing. It's interesting. I think it's at Fanatics Authentic on Instagram. But yeah, they like followed around the Zambonis as it was, you know, collecting the scraped ice, and then they put it in something to store it. Let me look at this again. Oh, it's at Fanatics, not Fanatics Authentic, just at Fanatics. Zambonis collect the ice. They shovel it and pack it into buckets. Then the ice is delivered for prep, it says. It's just so brilliant. And it goes to the, where is it? Like Miramar, I think, is where Fanatics has a big office in South Florida.
Wow.
So cool. Brilliant. Because you go, hey, you know how they put like a piece of the court on something, you know, like a picture or whatever you like. But the ice, how exactly can you do that? But that's pretty brilliant.
It's like they put water in little snow globes.
Yeah. But there's nothing special about the water.
That, like, the idea of that is genius.
My brother, I sent him the video of us getting these Fanatics things, and he's like, hey, make sure it's authentic ice. Do like a DNA check. See if there's, you know, Bob's DNA or something on it. Make sure it's not tap water. Then I have to crack open my Stanley Cup.
Don't listen to your brother. keep it, man. Well, give me mine before you start breaking them. Give me mine.
Funny. Speaking of the Heat, we're going to talk with the Heat. Speaking of the Panthers, we're going to talk with George Richards later on this hour. Speaking of the Heat, which we were with John Michaels in the last hour, Ira Winderman tweeted out that Khalil Ware, the Heat's number one pick, is going to wear number 7, which Ira points out is interesting because Kyle Lowry had asked Goran Dragic's permission before taking number 7 when he came here. And Ira says, now you know this means Dragic's Heat number will not be retired, because if they're just giving it out to guys they draft. And when I read it, I was like, yeah, that's silly that we ever even had the conversation of raising Goran Dragic's number. But that's Solana. But that's silly when you really think about it, of raising Goran Dragic's number to the rafters. Like, that's nonsense.
One of the best point guards in the history of the Heat. Solana, shut up.
But yeah, so he's wearing number 7. So if you're holding out hope that Goran Dragic, that they made this little exception for Kyle Lowry because he had already established himself as number 7 and he was coming here as a veteran and he's Jimmy's friend. And, you know, so they made this exception, but they are planning one day of retiring his number. It ain't happening. That number is going to belong to Khalil Ware and whoever else wants number 7 in the years to come.
I bet on Khalil Ware getting raised in the rafters over Dragic.
Tell you what, he's got a better chance right now because Dragic's chance is zero. There's no chance.
Hope he works out.
Anyway, so that's news. And I saw, too, what did Ira tweet about the second pick? Remember the second pick's name?
His name is Pell.
Oh. That's right, Pell.
Let me get his last name. He's got a normal last name, but he's got a weird first name.
Yeah, he's white.
Yes, he played for Arizona. His name is Pell Larson.
Pell Larson. Mm-hmm. He is wearing number 9.
Hmm.
I don't remember a Heat guy. Who what, did Caleb Martin wear 9?
He was 8, wasn't he? No.
I just make that up.
I don't know. Ain't getting low nowadays. He's 16. Been in the 20s back in my day.
16 is Caleb Martin's number.
Am I crazy? Back in my day, NBA players didn't have single digits.
No, I don't know. I think D. Brown won like number 7 or something like that. I don't know why I'm going to D.
Like,
Brown.
You look at the great, like Charles Barkley, Jordan.
Who the hell knows D. Brown's number offhand?
I remember the dunk contest. Jordan,
Charles Barkley.
D. Brown doesn't remember what number he wore.
He was number 7. I knew it.
Drew Smith from the Heat, he wore number 9. What else do I see? Who else wore number 9? Well, who cares? Let's get headlines. The more I think about this, who the hell cares?
I'm just hoping one day the Pelicans lift Zion Williamson's number 1 into the Raptors.
Too heavy.
Better chance of having to lift him off the bench because he can't get up.
Jersey's too heavy. Been the Raptors.
I only said that to get the jokes out of you guys.
What would the Zion Williamson Fanatics collectible be filled with?
Grease from his own frying pan. If this basketball thing doesn't work out, you can be a competitive eater.
This is his season. You know what? When he ends up with another team, when he ends up out of New Orleans, no offense, Dan, because I know you love New Orleans. When he ends up with another team, better run, and better suited for him, you're going to see a Zion Williamson that'll remind you of the Zion from Duke.
Which NBA city doesn't have restaurants?
It's not that, man. It's the entire organization. He needs a Heat-style situation.
You know what's going to happen. He's going to start the season. He's going to be averaging 25. Y'all are going to get excited. He's going to get hurt. I've read this book.
Still excited. For what? I don't know, but I'm still excited.
All right, let's get headlines here from Dan Day, the biggest Pelicans fan in South Florida.
Maybe the biggest Pelicans fan in Louisiana, too, to be honest with you. I just got back from there, and whew.
Oh, were you just there?
Yeah, I was there a couple of weekends ago, visited Big Lynn, and I was there for Father's Day, oddly enough. But I talked to the guy at the bar. I said, "You a big Pelicans fan?" He had a Pelican shirt. He goes, "Honestly, man, it's a free shirt that Jameson gave me." I go, "Okay." Okay.
Was it hot as hell there?
I didn't think it was any more hot than it is here in Miami. It's a little muggier, maybe, because you don't have the ocean with the breeze, but Miami's pretty darn hot. Whew. Man.
It's about the same, because I worked at New Orleans for like 4 or 5 months in the summer. Yeah, it's the same humidity, man.
And it's tough.
I think it gets hotter in New Orleans.
Yeah, it got a little stench to it.
Yeah, it's got that. It's a little urine. Stickier.
It's got a little edge to it.
Yeah.
Rotten food and urine, vomit, goes together real well at night.
Yeah. That's what Fanatics would fill a New Orleans memorabilia with, urine from Bourbon Street.
These headlines are brought to you by the new Palmetto.
I'm going to let Fanatics have the real collectibles market. Now I'm going to come in with the uncomfortable collectibles market. Off-color collectibles.
It was like back in the day with Garbage Pail Kids. You're kind of like alternate.
I'm the Garbage Pail Kids of Fanatics collectibles.
Vomit Bob. Those were so nasty. P.P. Priscilla. I remember those little nasty jokes. Funny, man.
These headlines are brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Bronny James, taken 55th overall in the second round by the Los Angeles Lakers yesterday, paving the way for possibly a chance for he and his father, LeBron, to play together next season.
Yeah, I would imagine they will. How do you think J.J. Redick is going to do as a head coach? Now, all the drama that comes with just having LeBron on your team.
Yeah.
Now add in LeBron's son is on the team. Your first head coaching job and the expectations of a Lakers team that still has LeBron and Anthony Davis. How does J.J. Redick end up doing?
I think we had him on the pivot just before he got the job. This is two months ago. He's so analytical. Like, he almost takes pride in it, where he says stuff like emotion doesn't get anything done. So I think he's going to be a terrible press conference coach. But I think he's so analytical. I think the hoopla and the circus around son and dad and all that won't even mess with him. But also, Hawk.
He won't pay it any mind. Kind of Nick Saban-ish, right? Where that doesn't affect me. Go out and play basketball. Go out and play football.
So does this make us get more wins? Because if it doesn't, I don't care about this. That whole Nick Saban thing. But also, Bronny's not going to dress, if I had to guess.
Right. Not much.
Yeah, no, I know they're going to give him one game. There's going to be a regular season game where he plays so him and his dad can play on the same court together. But like integral piece of this organization?
No.
It's jersey sales. You get a James and a James Jr. It's cute. That's about all it is.
You and your dad never really capitalized on that. Not that you played at the same time, but for both playing for the Miami Dolphins, you guys really have never capitalized on that.
Yeah, man, I think that old arrest kind of put Randy out of the Fanatics deal.
I was about to ask whose, yours or his. you never really capitalized on that. Multiple arrests for the both of you.
That's so funny. I don't know if I told this before. I asked Florida because they started putting guys in the Florida Hall of Fame that played after me, players that I'm better than.
Right.
And I was like, hey, man, y'all are starting putting guys that left in 05, 06, 07. I left in 05. You're putting guys in that played after me. And the
seems like you've forgotten me somewhere in the equation.
Kind of waved my hand like, hey, remember 03, 04? He was like, yeah, you know, it's an all-around player that we put in this Hall of Fame. He was saying that like, hey, all these arrests aren't really helping your argument. He told me.
Is there anything like, because the Hurricanes have the Ring of Honor, but then, you know, like the Dolphins have that Ring of Honor, but then they have the Walk of Fame. Remember, there's like a couple of different levels of the Gators. They have anything? I mean, kind of feel like you should have some sort of permanent honor there, no?
There's like a Walk of Fame with the bricks, but it's just you give money. It's all about money. And then they have the only people on the actual stadium wall is Steve Spurrier, Tim Tebow, the two Heisman Trophy winners.
Yeah, you're not going to.
Yeah. And actually, what they couldn't take away from me, they have an All-SEC wall and All-American wall. So
you're on those.
Yeah, you can't take me off of those walls. But they're like inside the facility. They're not even outside. Right. I want something.
Up in the weight room at the at the Hurricanes facility for, I think it's bench press.
Yeah, they weren't testing back then.
Oh, my God. If they were, the thing would have exploded. There's literally nothing natural in this test kit. We've never had a test before that has come back 100%.
The cup
no
melt.
Human, no natural.
Peas powder.
You do bring up a good point, Crowder. When LeBron and Bronny play together, what's the back of their jerseys going to say? Is LeBron just going to still have James on the back and then Bronny have like B James or something? That's going to be interesting.
I actually saw it this morning, the back of his jersey. I think it was at a workout or maybe one of them little camps they go to. It said James Jr.
Really?
Because I didn't even know this. Bronny's name is LeBron. It's not Bronny.
Oh, it isn't.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a junior. So it said on the back of his jersey this today when I was watching ESPN, it said James Jr. So I'm assuming it's going to say James and James Jr.
There's a few questions. I've seen people tweet over the last 24 hours. Like, if he's calling for the ball, does he say dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
So in an NBA game, like if he's open, instead of like dad, I'm open.
I would like daddy more if he said, daddy.
So like, cool.
Daddy.
Will they go to the club together?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, LeBron's married to his mom.
Yeah. You can still go hang out, listen to some music.
Oh, is that what you do at the club? I had a different idea.
What you do at clubs?
Well, they shower together.
Oh.
Yeah, they're both men.
Yeah, they're father and son.
Yeah, but that's not a big deal.
Listen, y'all act so funny about this shower situation. All the same pieces.
I understand actually, but I don't want to shower with David.
Actually, LeBron has wiped Bronny's little pee-pee off.
Right, but now he's a grown man.
I know, and it's the same pieces as Anthony Davis has and as Gabe Vincent has. It's the same pieces.
All right. I'm glad we settled that.
I'm glad you asked.
I've got more.
Yeah, man.
Okay, the NHL draft begins tonight at 7 o'clock. Unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know how you want to look at it, Stanley Cup champions Florida Panthers do not have a first-round pick. They don't pick until the third round.
Hey, you won the Stanley Cup. Who cares?
Who cares?
So we have a NHL Stanley Cup or NHL draft special tonight. Doug Plagan, 7 p.m., but he told us yesterday it'll be a retrospective of the year.
U.S. men's national team fell 2-1 to Panama last night in the Copa America. They now have to win against Uruguay Monday night at 9 o'clock to advance in the Copa America.
All right. Oh, so USA Uruguay?
Yes.
Oh, Lana's going to be torn.
Oh, no, he's not.
Nah, he hates this country.
Benedict Arnold. Benedict Arnold. I mean, Uruguay's got nothing to play for. They can help a guy out, you know, and let us win on Monday, and that'll be cool.
All right.
They've already advanced. They won their first two
Eduardo
matches.
Eduardo can make a phone call.
Yeah.
Do they do that in soccer? Like the week 17 of NFL where it doesn't really matter?
Not really. They kind of do. They might not play their best players very long. Like Messi's not going to be playing tomorrow because he's kind of injured and Argentina wants to rest him because they've already advanced to the next to the knockout round. But they still have all that national pride, especially, you know, and Uruguay would like to stick it to the United States, even though the past two times we played, it's been a draw. That's a lot of in-depth analysis. I feel like Chris Whittingham.
That was a lot of soccer analysis there.
Don't ask me anything else. I'm out. I'm
the
out
guy who brought you D. Brown's incorrect number.
Correct number, by the way.
They just blacked out like old
was
school.
Nine? He was
no,
nine?
Seven.
I thought you said he was seven.
Who's seven?
Oh, but I thought we were talking about nine.
And I was just throwing out numbers and D. Brown. That was just randomly off the cuff.
I'm not giving you that one. No, we were talking about nine. You said D. Brown. That was an incorrect number.
No, I thought someone said, who remembers, and like nobody back in the day used to have single-digit numbers. And I said, well, D. Brown wore seven. And then you go, well, who wore nine?
Yeah, I'm not certain that that's the way it transpired.
Well, I did ask about the single digits.
Nine's a single digit. I know, like, it all falls into place.
Okay. The stars back in the day.
Talking about draft picks, did you see Dolphins' sixth-round pick Malik Washington got a tattoo on his leg commemorating his draft day?
Oh, you should have done that, Crowder.
I do. I have a big scar from when we were wrestling on the glass bottles. I do. I have a scar from draft That's night, probably, from wrestling on funny. Glass bottles.
I'll never remember it by.
He's got a huge tattoo down his leg that says, with the 184th pick in the NFL draft, the Dolphins select ... And then it says, trust yourself.
That's kind of cool. I kind of dig that. He's going to regret that. I know what Crowder's going to say because Crowder's got tattoos he regrets. But I think that's kind of cool.
184?
Yeah.
Listen, it's better than not getting drafted.
That doesn't sound sweet.
I think that's what makes it special. Like any first overall pick can get a tattoo or whatever, but the 184th, that's kind of cool.
He's going to regret it. It's going to be
Natick
covered
has
by
a Crowder draft day piece of memorabilia coming out. It's filled with Natty Light.
Who was that? That was 05? No, Jack Hennessy. That was the Hennessy days.
Mm. Oh, goodness. You drink it straight?
Hey, out the bottle, hot. Mm.
Somebody texts in, where's Jimmy? I miss him. So Jimmy is back from Europe. He got in yesterday. He was gone for a couple weeks on a European cruise, got in, and apparently called Dan Day today and said that he's sick after his vacation, which is exactly what happened to Solana after his European vacation. And it led me to say that we have truly the weakest show in sports radio.
Yes.
Dan doesn't fall into that category. Remember, Dan, Dan got like beat up and jumped and I think he said it was a skateboard accident.
A girl beat me up in New York.
You came back from some city. You were beaten up from head to toe. Tried to lead us to believe that you had a skateboard accident, like you had taken your skateboard, which you don't even own, on vacation with you. But he was here the next day.
Bleeding all over the place. Day.
Jimmy was on a cruise.
Yeah, for 2 weeks in Europe.
I don't get it.
Couldn't top it off for one day.
I think. Like Solana and Jimmy go on vacations and get worse.
Weird.
It's supposed to be to relax, come back, you know, re-energize, and now back. They get sick.
Rest your mind, rest your body.
Yeah, man, I don't know about that.
What makes it worse, 2 weeks in Europe, he couldn't come back for one day and sit in an opposite room for me and do just a little bit of work. Nope. Not even for a day.
He's sick.
Jet lag.
I'm getting texts right
Solana's
now.
Solana's Fanatics collectible will be filled with influenza.
Yours would be Ambien and Cheez-Its.
What's funny? This is funny. This is such a great testament to what this show is. In the first segment today, I said that we were going to play some stuff this summer that, you know, hasn't been played before. And I said one of the things I'm going to play it today in the 4 o'clock hour is Mike Cugno getting the Grimace Shake last summer. And someone texted, I just happened to remember this. I was scrolling through all the texts. Someone texted, I just love that this is this show. Dude, you played the Cugno milkshake segment like a week ago. Can we get something else? And my response was, no. That was him getting a shamrock shake. This is the Grimace Shake. This is the dumbest show in the history of radio.
It's a different segment, baby.
I'm not going to lie. If I'm in town from, like, I don't know, Detroit, Michigan, and I'm listening around, I'm like, what? What station
Absolutely.
Is this?
You have to go, what is going on here? We brought on the guy from Atlanta. Neither of us knew how to pronounce, not even close to pronouncing the first overall pick in the NBA draft.
He is from France. We know that.
All right, in keeping with the theme today, let me fake like I know what's going on with the weather. From the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations, 24-7, 866-954-MORE. Overcast, high 80s. High chance of rain throughout the day here in South Florida.
All right. George Richards from Florida Hockey Now is going to join us in the next segment, wrap up the season, preview the parade, have a little fun. So we'll talk some Panthers here in a moment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Literally thinking about having another child just so I have an excuse for the Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
Hawk and Crowder.
All right. George Michael. George Michaels. Wow. George Richards is going to join us in a minute here, but I want to talk about Caneswear first. That'd be pretty amazing if George Michaels was going to join us.
That'd be the greatest thing ever.
Dead. All right. George Richards, not George Michaels, is going to join us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. George Richards has covered the Florida Panthers for years. You can read his work at floridahockeynow.com. Hello, George.
Well, hello. What's going on?
I think I've partied too much since Monday, introducing well, George Michael just a moment ago.
The sports machine or the singer?
Well, I was thinking of the singer, but you know what? George Michael sports machine, that was a banger show back in the day.
Old school.
Yeah. He would actually hit a button, Crowder. It was like hit a button and they'd roll the tape. It was from L.A., but every now and then you'd see it in other parts of the country. Anyway. I don't want to get sidetracked here.
George Richards looks like George Michael's the singer, though. You know what I'm saying?
George Richards, you're a journalist, and but you're a human as well, even though you're a journalist. How did you feel when Paul Maurice hoisted the Stanley Cup for the first time ever on Monday night? Because Crowder and I had shared on Tuesday that, like, that was the moment. I didn't know that I was going to feel that kind of emotion, but that got me.
Yeah, no. Seeing Paul you know, because you could feel it before the series started. We were asking him about it, and you know, he talked about you know, listen, in what's important in life, my family, I don't need that validation, right? He's content with who he is. His friends, his family, they're all, you know, but he goes, but man, I'd like to win it just once. And, you know, 30 years is enough. And then you hear his quotes like, you know, he thanked his family for putting up with the loser for 30 years, you know, all that stuff. I mean, even in victory, he's self-depreciating. And, yeah, that was pure emotion, you know, and what he said about his dad, you know, pointed, he's like, your name is going to be among the greats. And it was a pretty cool moment. I mean, there were a lot of cool moments, and they continue. But that certainly was at the top of the list.
Hey, George, it seemed after the first period, Paul Maurice was – it was almost like he said, no, we're playing good hockey. Like, it was some kind of confidence. And then we talked to someone, I forgot who it was, where he was saying, if we lose the game this way, I'm okay losing it this way. Why? How did they come out in Game 7 like they didn't? And even Evan Rodriguez said, he was like, we were hunting offense in those games. This game, we were playing our game.
Yeah, no, that's right, because we talked about it before Game 7, right, that – we're going to be able to tell how the Panthers are going to do in this game just from how they come out because, you know, games 4, 5, and 6, Panthers didn't look very good at the beginning. They were chasing the game from the start. And, again, hard to fake the desperation, right? I mean, Edmonton loses, they go home, and it's over. Florida always had that extra, you know, thing. Yeah, they had it in their back pocket. All right, we lose game 4, there's game 5. We lose game 5, there's games. You know what I mean? Now both of them had Game 7, and that was it for both of them. And you could see from the beginning the Panthers looked like themselves again. The forecheck was going. Everything was going. And then they got the first goal 4 or 5 minutes in. Verhaeghe, the Verhaeghe goal from Rodriguez off the half wall. Florida's not chasing the game anymore, right? Even at 1-1, they're not chasing it. They're playing their game, and they can do what they want to do. And then once Sam Reinhart scored, the clamps were down. I mean, the Panthers were in, you know, penalty kill mode, and that was that. And that was just like, but like Paul Maurice was saying, he goes, the only way he knew his coaching and whatever the planning and everything stuck would be how they played in the first period. After that, it's on them. And he was content with that first period that they were on, that they were ready to go. And whatever happened, happened. And, you know, for Florida, they end up the champs.
Bunch of people texting in. George Michael's Sports Machine was based in Washington, D.C., not L.A.
I didn't want to correct you, man. I didn't want to.
No, I appreciate you being polite, but I would never be polite. And the texters certainly are not polite. So I want to correct that before I get any more texts.
Pal. You do what you do.
Appreciate that, George. Yeah. Although. Yeah. George is quick to jump in when he disagrees with something Solana says. He'll text me real quick. Go, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard on this
People
show.
People still are asking me about the Krispy Kreme thing.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's that ridiculous. Yeah, anywho.
If I told you 10 or 15 years ago that the Florida Panthers are going to win a Stanley Cup and South Florida is going to go absolutely mad over this team. We've all watched, you know, the Elbow Room and 11. And I was on Federal Highway. I drove past Raising Cane's. Was it yesterday?
Yeah, that was the day before. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it was a disaster. But it's right by my house. So my son and I drove by. Like, if I told you South Florida was going to go absolutely mad over this team, would you have believed it?
Okay, see, I thought you were going to ask me 10, 15 years ago, would you believe the Panthers would ever win the Stanley Cup? And that answer
is no. I'm marveling at what, because I'm also making the I'm thinking about what this town would be like if the Dolphins or the Hurricanes won a championship in their respective leagues. But did you ever think, covering the Panthers as long as you have,
that if they
did win a Stanley Cup, that this would be the reaction? Because this area seems to be insane with joy.
Okay, I would have said yes to that. I wouldn't have believed that they'd ever win it, but I thought South Florida would jump on just because we were here in 96, or at least I was here in 96, and remembered, you know, and that was, you know, an expansion team. Hockey was brand new, but you know, you had banners up and down I-95. Every car had car flags. I mean, everybody was in on the Florida Panthers, and they got, you know, the Panthers did plenty to push people away in the ensuing years. But listen, this is a big event town. You could call it a front running town if you want. I won't. But this is certainly a big event town, and people love a winner. People love to get involved in it. And I think that was always, and we've talked over the years, that the problem with the Panthers was they would win the Atlantic Division. Finally, the Panthers are good. They'd lose in the first round, and then the next year they'd be a last-place team. At least now, the last couple years, the Panthers have built up to this, right, where people trust the Panthers. They've been in the postseason the last 5 years. Last year they went to the final. I think this has been building, and people have put their trust in this team to the point where they were allowed to be fans again. And this is just the culmination of it, that this is their team, and my goodness, they were good. And listen, look, you know, kind of like the 03 Marlins, that was a lovable bunch, right? With Jack McKeon as the manager, and just, you know, and Miggy and Dontrell. And people loved that team. And the Panthers have a lot of the same characteristics with, you know, Paul Maurice and Barkov and all the characters on this, Montour, Tkachuk. And I think people have been allowed to kind of, they feel like they know these guys, and they're celebrating with them.
And, George, what does this do for the organization? Like, I know the fans are going to come in now. Hell, I'm trying to get season tickets next year. But, like, yeah. For hockey, like, does it make it a destination for stars? Does it make – I would assume it makes Bill Zito's job easier. Like, what does this do for the organization now they have their first cup?
It's unbelievable for this organization, because now we can talk about it. What if they lost Game 7, right? That stink ain't coming off the Florida Panthers for 20 years, right?
Right.
The team that was 3-0. I mean, so Monday night, there was as much relief as there was celebration, because those guys knew it. Paul Maurice brought it up in the post game that – you know, he walks into the building and the giant TVs have this banner at the bottom of the ESPN crawl that just stuck there. Biggest collapse in sports history. He had to turn all the TVs off. So winning it, right, now you not only avoid that, and nobody, you know, we're the only ones talking about it now. You know, because I'm, you know, Mr. Negative. But winning it validates everything that they've done. This was already a Crowder. This is already a destination place. Players want to play here. We've seen it the last couple years. Claude Giroux, the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, says, I will only go one place, the Florida Panthers. I will only go there. Matthew Tkachuk, he puts three teams on his trade list. One is to go home. One was to Carolina because they got a good young team. The other is the Florida Panthers. Players want to be here. And you got to give a lot of credit to Vinny Viola, because he's given Bill Zito, who also deserves a lot of credit, everything that he's needed, right? I mean, not just money for payroll, but these guys stay extra nights in hotels. They don't fly in the middle of the night to save, you know, a couple bucks on hotel rooms. They give them an $80 million training facility when they had a perfectly good one in Coral Springs. That place is fine, but they built a brand new one in Fort Lauderdale so the guys could be closer to home and have all the creature comforts right there. That gets noticed, and it gets noticed by every player in the league. They look now at the Florida Panthers with envy, and boy, I'd like to be there. They come down here in February, and it's not a vacation. They're getting their butts whooped, and then they're looking at these guys just laughing and walking around in flip-flops and riding golf carts. I mean, everybody wants to be here.
Yeah, it's not exactly like walking outside in Calgary in February. Now, how about next season? Obviously, they've got the championship. You can never take it away. The big celebration will be Sunday. You can listen to it on this radio station. By the way, our coverage starts at 10 a.m. Next season, will this team look almost the same as it did this season?
I don't see how it can. You know, the draft is tonight. Free agency starts Monday. Bill Zito's, you know, in Vegas right now. Florida doesn't have any top draft picks, but they've only got, you know, he's got $19.5 million, and he's got, what, 13 guys? he needs to sign. So he's got a lot of holes to fill. It's just going to look different. You're going to have quite a few guys that you fell in love with that won't be here. And they all know that. That's the business of the game. This team's going to be different now. 8 years ago, did you have faith that the Panthers could reload? No, nobody would. But now the Florida Panthers are sort of like the Miami Heat. They've got that credit. I think fans all over South Florida are like, yeah, he'll figure it out. Bill Zito will get it right, just like Pat Riley. He's going to get it right. The Heat won 15 games one season, and nobody batted an eye because guess what? Pat Riley's going to get it right. Bill Zito will get it right. Some way or another, they're going to do it. And he's going to have some hard decisions to make. There's going to be some big-name players that either he can't re-sign, or there might be some big-name players that he trades away to create cap space. So, you just have to take trust in it. And obviously winning the Stanley Cup, to Crowder's point, that gives you a lot of credit, gives you a lot of cachet. And, this team could finish in last place next year. They're not going to. They could finish in last place next year, and you're all right with it.
And, George, one problem I have with hockey, because that was my first entire Stanley Cup, celebration, skating around the trophy with every player grab. Like, I saw that for the first time Monday night. And then Connor McDavid, justifiably, he wins the Conn Smythe Trophy, which he was the best player in the playoffs.
He absolutely was.
And it was kind of lame because he didn't come out. He's back there crying. He just got his ass whooped. But that was kind of the problem with me. But the question is, why in the hell doesn't hockey have a finals MVP? Every other sport has a Super Bowl MVP, NBA finals MVP. Why doesn't hockey have a finals MVP? It just makes sense.
It makes no sense, right? It makes no sense because, all right. So, for years, for the last 30 years, only like two players on the losing team have won the Conn Smythe because it is the pseudo finals MVP. This year, because of the postseason that Connor McDavid, this was a special circumstance. Connor McDavid had numbers up there with Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, numbers you just don't see anymore. This was a special deal. And Florida really had no player that really completely stood out. You could have given it to Barkov, Bobrovsky maybe, but you weren't going to give it to Bobrovsky. It was going to be Barkov. After game 4 or 5, if Florida had won, it would have been Bobrovsky's. But anyway, I don't know why they don't have a finals MVP. You could add one. I don't know why they just stick with the Conn Smythe and that's it, because who would Florida's finals MVP to be, though? And I think it would be Evan Rodriguez. So, with the finals that he had, I would have named him MVP for the Panthers in the finals, if that's all you're talking about. But as far as Connor McDavid not coming out, I understand why he didn't come out. That's the whole, we just lost. I can't believe we just lost. I don't want to get this individual trophy. On the other hand, he should have come out because that was a big, that's a big trophy in the NHL. It's a big honor in the NHL, and he should have come out and got it.
I was having that conversation with my wife. She's like, do you think he should have gone out to take it? And I made the assumption that if Michael Jordan had won finals MVP, but the Bulls had lost, because Connor McDavid is Michael Jordan right now, right? I mean, he's on that level.
You're right. He wouldn't have.
And there's no chance would have come out and taken a finals MVP award if his team had just lost. So I was because my first reaction was, it's kind of a bad look not even to come out. But then I was like, you know what? MJ wouldn't have, no chance he would have come out. So I kind of give Connor McDavid a pass on that.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And maybe if the game was in Edmonton, if the Panthers had won in Edmonton, maybe he comes out to salute the fans or something. But being in Sunrise, hey, this is Florida's
and
party.
Also, he probably doesn't want to step on the Panthers' toes, right? Like they're celebrating, like he doesn't want any shine on him.
Right, absolutely. I agree with that. But again, this is a time-honored NHL thing. As dumb as it is, Crowder, absolutely should be.
Did they have the NHL awards last night? Was that last night?
They did. You missed it. It was it was something.
Did Sergei Bobrovsky win the Vezina?
He did not win the Vezina. He finished. third. The Vezina Trophy, which is presented to the top goaltender, went to Connor Hellebuck of the Winnipeg Jets.
I figured if he wasn't going to correct me on George Michael's sports machine, he's not going to correct me on the design.
Did you ever see the clip
of Randy Moeller when we dropped that on him?
Oh, that was funny. The look on Randy Moeller's face, priceless. Oh, my
God. The what?
The what? You know, and he's the mayor of mispronouncing words, and so you really had to mess one up.
It is forever etched in my mind. He looked at me with looks to kill. The what?
Yeah, go get it. Next time, pronounce Regina. See where you go with that.
Jordan Richards, read his work, FloridaHockeyNow.com. I'm assuming you'll be out at the parade on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll head out. Why not? If I could, we'll see how it goes in the morning, right? I mean, because
so did you go to Raising Cane's? You were there, right?
Oh my God, yeah, that was awful. That was really
disaster.
Bad. It was a disaster.
Did you go to the Dick's? Forget who was at Dick's.
No, Reinhardt was at Dick's. I did not go to that. At least, hey, listen, they were in air conditioning at Dick's Sporting Goods at Sawgrass, and they gave out bracelets to the
numbers,
people that were in line at like 8 in the morning or whatever, and then said, go home. The Raising Cane's people knew nobody was getting in that building and did not tell people to go home because they wanted them all to gather so they could, make a commercial. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was
bad. It was kind of fun to be. Now, admittedly, all I did was tell my son, because I had already seen it building up on social media. So I said to my son, because just down the street, I said, let's go drive down Federal to Raising Cane's and just drive by. It was kind of fun to be in the swirl of it. And when I say the swirl, in my air-conditioned car driving by honking my horn, I probably would have been annoyed if I hit. There are people who drove from Orlando
and got there at
9 in the morning and nothing ever happened. They just stood in the bright blazing sun on Federal Highway for several hours and then went home.
Yeah, I was walking the line to get pictures and was running into people. I was like, guys, go home. They're not letting you in. And they're like, but the line is moving. And I was like, yeah, because they're circling you around. There was a self-storage facility that they were just circling people through. I was like, they are not opening. They are not. He's leaving in 15 minutes. You're not getting in. And they could have. They knew that. They knew that a top 10 people were getting in. They could have told all those poor people baking in the sun to go home, and they didn't.
But the toast at Raising Cane's is kind of worth it.
I've only been there once, and it was in Columbus. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I don't know. I like Zaxby's.
Wow.
I'm
about to slap you in the face the next time I see you.
Zaxby's, George? That's what he said?
Stop it.
Zaxby's, baby. I'm in Tallahassee.
What are you? Are you a Florida Gator? Well, I mean, that's the finest dining up in Gainesville.
Dude, you ever been to Guthrie's?
What about the gut box?
Everybody in the world, all these places copied Guthrie's. Guthrie started it.
Special. Yeah, the gut box. People rave about that to this day. Yeah. All right, Richards or George Michaels, whatever you want to call him.
Whatever.
You gotta have. You know what I mean. All right, check out the website, FloridaHockeyNow.com. See you, George.
All right, see y'all.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Everybody's younger than Hawk.
Hawk and Crowder.